Good evening. If you would turn in your Bibles to the passage we'll be looking at tonight is Colossians chapter 3. This lesson is entitled, A Disciple's Work Ethic. And I entitled it that because I wanted to be of encouragement for all of those who are going back to school. All of those whose summer camps have ended, whose vacations are over, and now they're at the end of that very long tunnel and they can't see the light at the end of it. And so we need a reminder about work ethic and ask ourselves, what is a disciple's work ethic? What should it look like? Well, it's found here buried within this passage of Colossians chapter 3. Look with me first at these two passages, verse 17 and verse 23 through 24. Paul tells the Colossians here, he says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Now down in verse 23 and 24, He continues on with the same thought and says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, since you know that you will receive whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." But what if it's cleaning the house, cleaning the dishes? Maybe, what if it's painting? What if it's digging a post hole, which is a lot different here in Missouri than it is in Wyoming? We share the red dirt, yes, but you have collected all the rocks. What if it's studying for an exam? What if it's math homework? What if it's a job I don't like? I love mine, by the way. What if it's struggling with attitude or your own attitude or trying to find your motivation, or maybe it's self-discipline, or maybe it's laziness, or maybe it's something that we just want to come up with the excuse, "No, I'm not good at that." What should a disciple's work ethic be? Well, Paul says, well, whatever you do, whether it's in the things you say or whether the things that you do, do it all in the name of Jesus. Put Jesus' name with it. To remember that you're to do it with all your heart as working for the Lord. And he's not just talking to ministers here, or preachers, or elders working for the Lord, or deacons. Actually, in that passage, he's talking to slaves. People who were owned by other people, and they're really bummed about their life that they have. And Paul's encouragement to them is, well, you need to obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it. Not only when they're looking to win their favor, but with a sincere heart and reverence for the Lord. Work at it with all your heart. Working as though working for the Lord, not for men. And so that's his encouragement to slaves. So if that's his encouragement to slaves, then this should easily apply to every one of us. So whether it's my attitude, whether it's the motivation, whether it's the job I don't like or the task that is ahead of me, whether it's that school or that hour or that project or that thing that I know I need to be doing but I'm belaboring it, whether it is cleaning the dishes, whether it is painting, whether it is digging post holes in Missouri, whether it's studying for an exam or doing math homework, I need to challenge my attitude, I need to challenge my motivation, I need to challenge my self-discipline, and at times even the laziness that comes after me. And even that excuse that says, I'm not good at this, so why put forth any effort? And I need to challenge that and say, well, can I change my work ethic? Can I improve my work ethic? And you may think, no, I don't want to change my work ethic. I don't want to, you know, improve my work ethic. That may be where you land. And if that is, then hopefully the passage on the screen will give you something to think about and will give you some challenge to think about. That's Proverbs 20, verse 4. And this is a paraphrase of that passage. Scripture reads just a little bit different, but it has the same expectation is applied. If someone is unwilling to put the work in, if someone's unwilling to put the time in, then they shouldn't expect that there's to be this benefit or this blessing from their work, from their efforts. So if you're unwilling to put the time in to dig post holes with rocks in it, don't expect to be able to, for your post to be able to stand. If you're unwilling to clean up after yourself in the kitchen or around your house, then expect the dirt and the dust to just get deeper. If you're unwilling to study for an exam or to do your math homework, then don't expect to ace the test. Don't expect that, but allow this passage to challenge you with that. Allow this passage to challenge your attitude, your motivation, your self-discipline, your laziness, and all those things that you want to say that you're not good at. Because your work ethic can change. It can improve. We just have to allow God's Word to work within our hearts and within our minds to have an impact on our lives. So what can change my work ethic? Well, Paul unveils that in this passage. He talks about this in this passage. Start with me in verse 15. He says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace and be thankful." Have you ever tried to get a really good night's sleep when you were worrying, when you were anxious and stressed? Has anyone ever tried to do that? I'm the only one. All right. It's a struggle. It's a struggle to get a really, you know, good night's sleep. And it's not just putting in, you know, getting 8 hours of sleep. Because you can get 8 hours of sleep, but your son can wake you up on every hour through the night. And you can't just sort of mash those 8 hours together and so I feel so rested the next day. That's not how parenting works, and I know most of you have had that experience, and you remember what that's like, and maybe you're experiencing that now with your grandchildren. But that's not how that works. You don't wake up the next day feeling like you feel so rested and so ready for the day and for the day's projects. You don't. You're not well rested. If we want to move to a place of changing our work ethic, of improving our work ethic, of doing a good job the next day, of being efficient the next day, of making the most of every opportunity the next day, then that might imply that the night before, that I do everything I can so that my body is rested, my mind is rested. Physically, I've gotten the proper rest. Spiritually, I've gotten the proper rest. That I've put all of my worries and my concerns and my anxiousness, I've given that over to God. I've prayed, I've sought Him through His Word, I've sought Him through Scripture and through opening up my heart to Him, and I'm going to let God be in control of that. I've done everything I can do at that point, and I want to seek God for His peace, for His comfort. That's what this passage is saying. It's saying, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. When we have trouble getting the rest that we need, we're so far from having the peace of Jesus ruling within our hearts. We find ourselves so far from being utterly satisfied, to have an utterly satisfying rest. I mean, because that is found in Jesus. That's found in Jesus alone. I mean, that's why that familiar passage we read in Matthew 11, 28 and 29, he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." That's the peace that Paul's talking about. Having this type of rest that is so deep and spiritual that all of your hope and all of your trust in God and you are able just to be at peace. And that flows through and becomes a part of your entire being when that starts in your heart and within your soul. So getting the proper rest is part of this peace. Second thing is that Jesus is going to rule my life. Jesus is going to rule my life. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Well, sometimes I like to be in control. Sometimes I like to be the one who makes all the decisions. Sometimes I like to be the one who gets so worked up over things when they don't go my way that I'm left frazzled and stressed and giving in to the pressure and anxiety, giving in to the world around me. Because Jesus isn't ruling my life. I'm not trusting in Him. I'm not putting Him first. I'm not putting His purposes first. And then with that is this act of trust in Him. We've talked a little bit about that. Trusting in God that it's in His hands. That I'm going to be at peace with how things work out this day and tomorrow. And I can lay there in bed and go, you know, it's okay if I left the garage door open. It's okay if I forgot to let the dog in. She'll be fine. You know, we can lay there in bed and all of these thoughts, you know, come before us, or maybe it's a voice next to you, right? And reminding you of things to go check on something. And all of that can happen. But there's something greater that's ruling our life, and something greater that we're going to trust in. When we're going to trust in God, and we're going to trust in His Son, and He's going to be that peace that's ruling our life. He concludes this verse, verse 15, and he says, "And be thankful." If we're going to have this peace within us, that peace of and there can be chaos going all around us, within our little world or within the big world, within our workplace. And we can have a great amount of peace if we have these elements. If Jesus is ruling our life, if we're trusting in Him. And the thing that really brings joy to those moments of frustration and anxiety and stress is being thankful. Having a thankful heart, a thankful attitude, allowing that to be something that provides us great comfort. The next thing, point number two, other than peace, what can change my work ethic? Listed all those things with peace, and now the next thing comes in the next couple of verses, and that's worship. He continues and says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, And as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. He's saying, read the Word. He's saying, study the Word. Put it within your heart. Meditate on it. Memorize it. Find ways to study and to read and to do that as often as you can. If we're going to improve and change this work ethic within us, then we have to allow God's Word to produce fruit within us. And it can't do that unless we're cultivating our soil. Unless His Word is cultivating within us. And He says He does that through His Word. Allow this to dwell in you, to abide in you. And to do that so that it's in abundance. It's not just you live on this just once a week or a couple times a week when someone else is feeding you. It's not about that at all. It's to feed on it yourself. It's to allow that nourishment to supply you with your spiritual needs. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And then he goes on, he says, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And he's not just talking to evangelists and preachers and elders. He's not just talking to Bible class teachers. He's saying this to the church. He's saying this to all of these people who are in the church, to everyone within the church. Let the Word of Christ dwell within you. Teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And so if you are not a teacher, if you've never taught, well, maybe that's something to pray about. Pray about a way to teach, whether that's your neighbors, whether that's children or youth or adult class or a ladies class, or if that's just something that you're not sure that you could experience or be a part of, then maybe be an assistant in one of those classes. Pray about that. Seek that. Put it in your heart to find a way to reach out in that way and impact the whole community of believers. Paul, that's Paul's encouragement here. Not just so that the Word of Christ can be within you and sustain you, but that has an impact on the lives of other people. Maybe that's your family. Maybe that's your brother or your sister. Maybe that's your granddaughter or your grandson. Pray about putting that in your heart to teach, to share. He says to sing to God. As you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God, sing to God with gratitude in your heart. This is all worship. He's talking about all of these things as worship. You want something to change your heart, to motivate you, to help you with self-discipline, to change the way that you have thought about being motivated or your own attitude. Or maybe if you were lazy about something or not being good at something, do you think Jesus could motivate you? Do you think His words could provide the fuel to get you going? Do you think His encouragement could help you overcome the things that you feel like you're not very good at? Absolutely. Absolutely He could. I mean, this is why Paul mentions in Romans chapter 12, this passage that we read a lot. He says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. This is our worship. This is how we're to live. Holy, pleasing to God, living sacrifices. Not being conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's the worship that he's talking about. If we're going to change our work ethic, if we're going to improve our own work ethic, then we're going to have the peace of Christ. We're going to have the worship of Jesus to impact, to change our hearts, to change our mind. Now, in American culture, our culture and our country is not really known for laziness. It's quite known for the opposite. It's quite known for, you know, opportunity and the workaholics. And that's really, they're all over our country. People who set out to do things with their lives, and they are very busy with those things. And I want to speak to that exception as well, so that maybe you're on the other side of that. Maybe you're not on the, I tend to be unmotivated or a little on the lazy side, or I struggle with, you know, my attitude or my self-discipline. If you're not that individual, but maybe you're on the other end of that. Maybe you hold more true to that the American side that says that you are such a hard worker, that you're so consumed and determined with your work that it's going to define you of who you are. And for those who work too much, I'm going to challenge you and say that your work ethic needs to change also. Too much of that work, and the world will consume you. Your heart may grow bitter and cold. Life, you give in to life, and it's full of its pressures, its anxiety, its stress. Your family is not able to have all of the time that it needs with you. Does your work ethic not need to change? Does your work ethic not need to improve? Well, I will give you the same encouragements. I will say, pursue the peace of Jesus and pursue worship to Him. And that's through proper rest, through Jesus ruling your life, for you making a list of all the things that you're thankful for spending time in His Word, for studying His Word, for jumping into a new Bible study, and opening your heart to teach and to share, and then to pursue worship with God by singing, with gratitude in your heart, and to make your life a living sacrifice, not just when you attend church, but at that place of work, that place where you go to work. There's so much that impacts us and it sort of gets in our way from being all of who God wants us to be. And maybe that's a job or a career. Maybe that's a relationship. Maybe that's the hard road ahead. Maybe that's just life or the world around you. But Paul's encouragement through all of that is he wants you to see, he wants me to see, and he wants us to realize who God wants us to be. What our work ethic should look like. And he says, whatever you do, whether in word, the things you say, or indeed the things that you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as reward. It is Christ. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. So I want to conclude with this challenge to you. I want you, during the course of this next week. Maybe it's some evening when it's a little quiet and peaceful around the house, or maybe it's one really early morning when you can get up and have some time. I want you to imagine having a conversation with Jesus. And He's asking you about your work ethic. And He's challenging on the things that you really value and you really hold important. And He's using this stuff that we've read here. He's using these passages in verse 17 and 23 and 24. And He's asking you if you're being the disciple that He wants you to be. That if you're spending your time working like you're working for Him. That if you're putting in the effort as if you're serving Him. I want you to imagine that. I want you to think about how Jesus would ask you and encourage you and not let you sort of get away with your excuses. Doing this exercise was quite revealing for me. And I hope that this next week that it will be of great encouragement to you as you seek to not just be challenged by your work ethic, but maybe learn to rest better. Maybe learn to worship better. To be grateful for those opportunities. And to know that every day we're going to work until Jesus comes. If you have a need tonight or you would like to respond to the invitation of Christ, maybe to put Him on in baptism, or you would just like the prayers of this congregation, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?